is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. It's time for the Kenai Conversation. I'm Jenny Nyman. And you all should have gotten a rather large envelope in the mail this month from Homer Electric Association. That is your ballot for the board of directors. Coming up this hour, we're going to hear from the candidates for three seats on the HEA Board of Directors. In District 1, which covers Kenai, Nikiski, and parts of Soldotna, the candidates are James Jim Duffield II of Kenai and Eric Hendrickson of Kenai. For District 2, Soldotna Sterling and Kasilov, C.O. Rudstrom of Soldotna is running unopposed. And in District 3, Kasilov South to Ketchumak Bay. The candidates are Troy Jones of Homer, Pete Kanine of Anchor Point, and incumbent Jim Levine of Homer. We're going to hear from the Central Peninsula candidates first. We're going to start off with District 1. This is Jim Duffield, who works as a tax accountant and business owner in Kenai.
What do you feel like you could bring to the HEA Board of Directors?
Well, I have a background in finance and accounting. I was a licensed CPA in West Virginia back for 20-something years now. And I've worked in a number of industries where energy and power is a big source. I've been an auditor in banking and mining and a few other areas, so financial background.
What long-term goals or development goals would you have for HEA?
Well, I'd like to look at what their 10, 15, 20-year plan is. There's a lot of questions I could ask, and I want to be informed before I try to give any answers to long-term issues or even on the short-term goal. The rates seem to have continually climbed steadily in the last few years, and I don't feel like it's really justified, and there's been a number of good projects that they've gotten involved in that have paid off well for the company and for us as users, but there's also some projects that have not worked out quite so well, and getting in and really getting a good look at how the organization's operating, the finances, and all those sort of things will tell a story, so it'd be easier to give an answer to a direction once I know the bigger picture.
And you'd mentioned that in your candidate bio as well, that there are some projects that you think have been of great benefit and some have not yet met promised expectations. And granted, you're not in the thick of it yet, but from your perspective at this point, what projects are you thinking have been beneficial and what ones are you on the fence about?
I think Bradley Lakes is a real good project. Hydro's, you know, it's a renewable source of energy that the maintenance for that type of thing, so the fixed cost and the budgeting for future maintenance on those sorts of things, it's got a long enough history, a couple of hundred years now, that you can see those sorts of things, and the cost of that energy is really really good. And I think probably the only thing that's close to it in cost is coal, and we're not burning coal here, so that's about the best. I think that's probably one of the best projects they've done recently.
Okay. And what ones are you a little concerned about?
The investment in Fire Island's windmill farm. And that's about all I'm going to say about that at this point.
What long-term challenges do you think HEA faces and how can it prepare?
Well, I think they've changed just in the last few months because of what's happened with this coronavirus and the shutting down of the economy. There were several years ago there under the Obama administration when they were really shutting down oil and gas production, and it hurt our community severely. Just here in the Central Peninsula, we lost over 7,500 people, and we only had about 27,000 at the time. So, you know, that's a a quarter to a third of our population, and I saw it in my personal business take a dramatic hit, and that hurt. You know, whenever you've got fewer customers and the same type of structure, you got to spread those costs somewhere. And so that hurt us a lot. And I think with the current situation, I think we were headed back up. We were getting ready to start pulling a lot more people in because oil and gas was taking off. We've got some other projects that look very promising. But now I think there's a lot of questions as to how things are going to go with the startup of our country again, and with the price of oil the way it is. There's a lot of uncertainty.
One of HEA's current strategic initiatives is to reduce dependence on natural gas. How do you think that should happen?
Well, I don't know that that is – I'd have to look at that, the directive in that strategy, because there is a lot of natural gas around here. Some of the contracts that were put forth in prior years due to that current situation – were not the best negotiated prices. I think natural gas will probably always be a part of ATA's strategy because it is here, and under the right circumstances, it is very affordable. Again, hydro is a really good resource. There's lots of water around here. I think it needs to be investigated more.
And then if you were elected, you would be in on the next strategic initiatives planning session, would be coming up this fall. So the previous goals that were set in 2017 were to reduce overall dependence on natural gas, increase engagement with members, and engage with other Rail Belt utilities. What do you think the initiatives should be going forward?
At this point, without knowing more about the inner workings of HEA and seeing the larger picture from being involved, I think anything that I would say in regards to that would be purely speculation and uninformed at this point. So I would have to get in and really look at things a lot more and see what opportunities there really are. Saying working with the other Rail Belt utilities, that might be a positive, that might be a negative. There's just a lot of factors to consider.
The memorandum of agreement was signed in 2019 to move ahead with the Rail Belt Reliability Council, which will, you know, govern how the Rail Belt utilities get along, basically.
Sure.
Do you have any particular hopes for the RRC? Are there any particular issues in how HEA interacts with the other Rail Belt utilities that you would like to see addressed in the future?
I've heard, and that's all I can say, is I've heard comments to the positive and comments to the negative, both sides of that discussion. And it's, again, something that I don't know enough about the details of that memorandum to make an informed decision or take a position on at this point.
Last year, HEA raised its cap on net metering for home renewables from 1.5% to 3%, and it's on track to raise that cap again this year. What is your position on net metering, and how do you think that should be handled in the future?
Yeah, see, I just got a recent bill that had that little explanation on there, another 3%. Oh, goodness. I've been a member of HEA for, what, maybe 10 or 11 years now, and I've seen the rates more than just about probably triple since I've been a member. It's worrisome. It's worrisome. So, again, that's another item that needs to be studied. That's one of the reasons I'm running for board, is because I do want to get in and look at these things and see what can be done. A lot of times the people who are intimately involved are only seeing things from one perspective. And when you're too deeply involved with it, you fail to see some of the easier opportunities to improve the service or reduce the cost. So I would really like to look at things from another perspective.
Kind of along the same lines of home renewables, there's been discussion of HEA promoting electrification of heating and transportation through technologies like electric vehicles and heat pumps. Are you in favor of HEA getting into that kind of realm? And if so, what would you think that promotion should look like? You know, like just printing an explanation in the newsletter or going so far as some sort of incentives for members?
Well, I wouldn't want to jump on that bandwagon too soon. Some of that's good. I've read some of what's come out in the newsletter, and it sounds good. I can tell you, coming from the lower 48 almost 20 years ago, in an area where heat pumps were the big thing, heat pumps, I couldn't stand having a heat pump. It actually was more costly than some of the other alternatives I could have used. It always left that cool blowing air that was almost uncomfortable. You couldn't get comfortable. So I'm not huge on heat pumps, to tell you the truth. I'm just not a fan of them, and I've found a lot of people who really aren't. They have a good use in some applications, but I don't think that our environment here is a good place for them. I have boiler, hot water, baseboard heat in my home now, and I love it. I'm about the best thing going around in our environment, in the kind of climate we live in here. But, I could be swayed if I saw the right kind of information and maybe saw how it was demonstrated around here, but, personally, I'm not a fan, and I hate to see people get stuck into something that they end up regretting.
And then the other one is electric vehicles. So HEA has EV, the electric Chevy car, now, and they're talking about maybe helping build some charging stations and have some charging stations throughout the rail belt. Is that a direction that you support HEA going in, or would you rather they be looking at something else?
That's all cost benefit thing. We've only got so many roads here, and you pretty much know the distances you run. It might be a useful thing for some folks around here, but I would not want to see a huge investment in it if the payback was not worthy of it. Too many of these things sound really good and old, clean energy, green energy, whatever, but they're sold as a really good thing for the environment. And then later on, after you've already been convinced that they are really good, you find out, oh, it's not cheaper. Oh, it's not more beneficial because of the resources that are used to create those things are more damaging to the environment than what you're doing. So that's looking at it. There's too many times I've seen us invest huge amounts of money and then the payback just not be there.
HEA is working on a battery energy storage system that's supposed to come online in 2021. What's your stance on battery storage? How do you see that fitting into the larger HEA picture?
I think that's positive. I do know some folks in the area who have that themselves in their homes, and all positives. There can be some cost, but a lot of that's kind of fixed. The maintenance to it doesn't seem to be nearly as high. I think it's on a large industrial type scale, it may be very beneficial. But it's just like the rest of them. I'd have to look at it deeply and see what the long-term benefit is versus the cost.
And then is there anything else that you think would be good for voters to know about you or what you would bring to HEA?
Well, bring a passion for looking at things, trying to look at things a different way, to trying to cut through all the hype, or BS, as a lot of people like to call it, and try to see what we can do to lower our costs as users and continue to push. They have great customer service, so continue the great customer service and a way to be sustainable in long-term security over our system. We don't have the power outages like we used to have, but they still do occur at times. So making sure it's secure and good for all of us.
And that was Jim Duffield running for District 1, Kenai Nikiski, and parts of Soldotna. His challenger is Eric Hendrickson, who is a cook at the Senior Center in Kenai.
What do you feel like you can bring to the HEA Board of Directors?
I am very interested in alternative ways to produce energy, especially in kind of this area of decentralized energy production, which would mean a lot of production of energy from the user side. This would be, you know, like solar. Small-scale wind isn't really as good. There's tons of different ways to generate and store electricity. New ways are coming out all the time. I mean, that's my main interest. And then kind of how HEA can adapt those things and store energy on a larger scale and partner with other utilities to kind of shift power around Alaska so you don't need as much storage. Yeah, so those are the things I'm interested in. I don't have the typical background. I'm a cook at a senior center, but I am a nerd, so there's that. Definitely like to research and learn. In my job, I have to find creative ways to produce food, really, and control where that goes. And so sometimes that skill can be really useful.
What long-term goals or development goals would you have for HEA?
Well, I see renewable energy as the future, for sure. The issue is, how do we get there? And what role does HEA play in that? I feel like since HEA is in such a large amount of debt already, that large capital projects are going to be tough to sell. Hence the decentralized energy, you know, you put that on rather than, you know, having all the members pay for a giant solar farm. If we can enable the HEA members to put solar on their roofs, and it gives them, you know, a sort of vested interest in how HEA is doing and gives them a reason to participate in the process. You know, long term, I'd like to see members producing their own energy. Storage, ideally, really, because it's what's needed to actually use the energy you produce. You got to have storage in there somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see HEA do that, but without adding to the debt load in a major way.
And then what long-term challenges do you think HEA faces, and how can it prepare?
Oh, man, yeah. So, yeah, in 2012, we decided to generate our own power, build a generation facility. You know, that was like $300 million. So we're paying that off. That debt, you know, we still got another 28 years probably on it. So the transfer into this new renewable energy landscape, while also still carrying the debt from that, is going to be tough. I mean, if everybody is producing their own power, who's going to be left to foot the bill, really? That's going to be a major issue that I see.
One of HEA's current strategic initiatives is to reduce dependence on natural gas. How do you think that should happen?
It's a bummer because we basically have a single choice for natural gas here in the Cook Inlet. So, I mean, any movement away from that is going to be good. So I think that, yeah, so a mixture of different energy sources. You know, we pull a lot of our electricity from the hydroelectric dam. If we enable our customers to purchase power generation on their side, and we couple that with power storage on HEA side through maybe adding pumped hydro to the dam, you know, we're already getting a battery system. That's a good step in the direction. So any of those moves would really lessen our reliance on natural gas.
So if you were elected, then you would be involved in the next strategic initiative planning session, which would be this upcoming fall. The goals set in 2017 were, again, to reduce overall dependence on natural gas, increase engagement with members, and engage with other Rail Belt utilities. What do you think the initiative should be going forward?
If we can get a partnership between all the utilities, that's going to make sending our electricity to Fairbanks a lot easier. You know, when they need electricity and we have it in surplus, you know, why not send it? The reason right now is because there's tariffs on, wheeling tariffs on trying to send electricity up the line. Getting the Rail Belt Reliability Council, hammering out an agreement between that's, you know, equitable for everybody is very important. That's probably the lowest hanging fruit and easiest thing that we can do. All it really requires is everybody to agree. How we do that, I don't know. But do we hand over all our transmission lines to a transmission co-op, or I don't know. There's different ways to do it, but that's definitely going to be the easiest and best way to pursue change the energy landscape. As far as getting people involved, definitely when people are producing their own electricity, they have a vested interest in that. And it really gets people involved. You know, all these people getting new solar installations definitely care about net metering right now. And we're capped at 3% right now. I think that we're going to need a change in the fee structure so that we can move beyond that 3%. So moving fixed costs off of the per kilowatt hour is probably what it's going to take. So that would mean all HEA customers would pay a share of those fixed costs, you know, labor for the employees, debt servicing for our debt for our generation plants. And then you would pay, you know, your bulk power rate for the actual electricity used. How that would work, and it'd have to be in some sort of tiered system depending on how much electricity you use. I don't know yet. I've seen other utilities co-op kind of move in some similar direction, but that can be a major challenge there. I came up with a good analogy would be like, so right now our roads are funded through a gasoline tax, but electric cars don't use gasoline, so they aren't paying for the roads that they're driving on. You know, it's an incentive to get an electric car now, but what happens when half the cars on the road are electric? You put that other half, you put all the tax burden on the other half. So for us to fully transition into the renewable electricity economy, the rate structure has to change somehow.
The MOA, it was signed in 2019 for that Rail Belt Reliability Council. What would you hope for the RRC? Are there particular issues in how HEA interacts with the other Rail Belt utilities that you would like to see addressed?
I would like to get more information. I feel like there's bad blood between HEA and some of the other Chugach, for sure. I don't know, is it because we decided, hey, we're going to generate our own electricity? I don't know, because our transmission lines are sending power from the hydroelectric dam up the Rail Belt, but we don't see any of that money for that. I would say it's tough. The simplest way probably would be just for everybody to agree to get rid of wheeling tariffs. I don't know, a transmission co-op seems like a greater risk, really. But I don't know all about that yet. I don't know. Yeah, if everybody could come to an agreement just to get rid of wheeling tariffs, that would probably. But is that fair to everybody? I don't know.
You talked about net metering a little bit. So last year, HEA raised the cap from 1.5 to 3%, and looks like they're on track to raise the cap again this year. Sounds like you're a fan of net metering. How should that be handled going forward?
people seem to be upset with the 150 kilowatt minimum charge, which is understandable. Seems too early to change the fee structure, but that's probably going to be something I look into. As far as net metering goes, I don't know how much generation can be produced via net metering before it really disrupts how we generate power on a large scale. Because when you supplement with, you know, solar or wind, you got to scale down your natural gas turbine, which makes it burn dirtier. So definitely the battery is going to help kind of soak up some of that and normalize it. Yeah, I feel like if we could get more sources of energy storage, that would definitely help.
CGA is working toward the battery energy storage system that's supposed to come online in 2021. Sounds like you're a fan of that.
Everything has its trade-offs. It's tough because, like, okay, the batteries are good, but how many cycles do they really have? What do we do when they've reached the end of their useful life? Who's servicing the batteries? Tesla has no presence up here. We have to fly people in to work on the batteries. Everything has its trade-offs. The battery is going to be definitely useful, especially in the transition to renewables. But, I mean, where are we going to dispose of them? It's a tough question. Overall, for sure, it's going to be a good thing. I don't know exactly how much it's going to cost yet. But if it means that we can not have to turn on these peaker plants, it saves a lot of money there. If we had to island ourselves again, saves a lot of money there. So there's definitely a lot of savings that could happen. Overall, I'm for the battery.
There's discussion of HEA promoting electrification of heating and transportation, you know, through technologies like they've got that electric Chevy Volt now, I think EV, the car, and heat pumps, for instance. Are you in favor of HEA promoting things like that? And if so, how far should that promotion go? A write-up in the newsletter or as far as some sort of incentives?
Expanding that on-bill financing to include things like heat pumps. Anything we can do to promote electrification really is going to help decrease carbon dioxide emissions, really. HEA, you know, brings their car out and shows it off during their meetings and stuff, which is cool. I checked it out last time. I recently purchased an electric bicycle, which is really cool. Yeah, I mean, not everybody needs to drive a car. You can ride around on an e-bike. It allows a lot of people with, you know, mobility issues who would never ride bikes to ride bicycles, which is really cool. I would like to see HEA support electrification wherever they can. On-bill financing is a good choice there because HEA doesn't take on that debt. Instead, you know, they're just the payment middleman. Can really help the transition to an all-electric future. As far as, like, electric trucks, we don't have that much of a trucking. I mean, we do. Everything comes on trucks. But maybe seeing the school district switch to electric or hybrid buses would be a good source of a base load for HEA. There's many things.
Is there anything else about you that you think would be good for voters to know?
My dream, I really want to be off the grid myself or a hybrid system. I'm definitely going to install solar panels on my house when I build that. My next new car I'm going to buy is going to be electric. So I'm definitely pro-renewable, but from a decentralized standpoint, for sure. And I think that is going to be the future because when you can get the members to actually care about HEA and decentralized energy production does that.
And that was Eric Hendrickson of Kenai. Before that, we heard Jim Duffield of Kenai for District 1 of the HEA Board of Directors. Up next, we've got C.O. Rudstrom of Soldotna, who is running unopposed for the District 2 seat.
What do you think you could bring to the Board of Directors?
Well, I think I can bring my training as an engineer and my experience living and working in all parts of Alaska. I've lived and worked in rural parts of Alaska and the more civilized part of Alaska, and I think that's great experience to bring to the Board of Directors.
One of HEA's current strategic initiatives is to reduce dependence on natural gas. How do you think that should happen?
reducing HEA's dependence on natural gas is an important goal to work towards. We're very dependent on natural gas as our own main source of energy. And looking to the future, we need to diversify that. And there's a couple ways of doing it. Adding renewables, wind power, and hydro are two obvious ones. And I think HEA should pursue both of those. But they have to look at it with a long-term, fiscally responsible way.
Can you expand on that anymore? Like, what do you mean by long-term, fiscally responsible way?
Well, HEA needs to, look at all the options, and adding renewables to the portfolio, I think, is a good choice, but we need to make sure we're making the right choice and we're not adding something that's going to ultimately cost us more money. I mean, that's our bottom line. We have to be here for the all the consumers and not just add renewables just because it's the thing to do. For instance, wind power in a lot of places downstates, they're finding out that wind turbines are a very high maintenance item, both on annual servicing, gearboxes and stuff, and when they wear out, the disposal of them. You know, disposing of these giant wind turbine blades is becoming a big issue in some states. So I think we need to just really study the issue carefully and not just buy a bunch of wind turbines because that's the thing to do. We need to really look into the facts of it. The other renewable that I think we need to pursue is hydro. And hydro is expensive up front, terribly expensive, like, to, you know, build new dams. But there's great long-term returns. You know, right now, the cheapest power we have comes from the Bradley Lake facility, which was a very expensive project years ago. But now we're happy we spent that money, and we'd be happy if we had more of those kind of projects. So I think we need to not get scared off by upfront sticker price of these things and keep a long-term view of it. How is this going to pay off over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years?
So looking forward to the next strategic initiative planning session, so the current goals set in 2017 were reducing that overall dependence on natural gas, increasing engagement with members and engage with other Rail Belt utilities. What do you think the initiatives should be going forward?
I think one of the most important things HEA can do right now is continue to work on this Rail Belt power sharing and coming up with a good economical agreement to share power and share spinning reserves across the Rail Belt. It's a very complicated issue, but it's important, and it can ultimately make the cost of generation electricity cheaper for us and the rest of the Rail Belt. And also, as we make that system more efficient, that means less emissions. So really focusing on working together with those other utilities is a very important goal.
Well, that dovetails right into my next question, which was about the Rail Belt Reliability Council, which is going ahead now since the MOA was signed in 2019. What are your hopes for the RRC? Are there any particular issues in how HEA interacts with the other Rail Belt utilities that you'd like to see addressed in the future?
Yes, the Rail Belt Reliability Council is a very important entity. You know, we need to find a way to work collaboratively with the other utilities to share those spinning reserves and the generation and figure out a way that we can share those resources. You know, some of the troubles we've had in the past is one utility owns the power line, someone else is trying to transfer their power down it. How much can the power line owning utility charge to transfer that power? Because there's a long-term maintenance cost of maintaining those wires and the right-of-ways and trimming the trees and all that. And we have to make sure we come up with a fair price to do that.
What long-term challenges does HEA face, and how can we prepare for those?
The obvious one that we've already discussed is our reliance on locally produced natural gas. you know, currently today there is enough natural gas in the inlet, but who knows what the future holds. And it's not just a matter of having enough gas. It's a matter of having enough suppliers to get us that gas at a fair price. So that's something HEA has to really be aware of and look to the future. And then the other one is an important issue coming up, I think, is as we see more and more development on the peninsula, and a lot of that development being, you know, seasonal homes and vacation homes and meters that only get served intermittently, you know, our billing has to reflect that. We have to maintain all those lines and all the distribution to all those places, even though they're only using power on occasion. And that's going to be a challenge moving forward to figure out the right way to bill those customers.
Last year, HEA raised its cap on net metering for home renewables from, I think it went from 1.5 to 3%, and is considering raising that cap again this year. What do you think about net metering? How should that be handled in the future?
Net metering is another important issue that I would like to see us increase the amount of net metering we have. You know, this is a great way to allow individual consumers to produce their own energy and do it economically, and, you know, and then that can possibly reduce the load on our network. But it's a very careful balance. We can only add so many small producers to our grid and still maintain the stability of it. One of the most important things with grid-based power is its stability and reliability. We have to know that grid is stable and secure, and that's one of the challenges. We can't add more consumers to it. Now, one way we can mitigate that is some of these storage devices, like, you know, battery, grid-sized battery storage. And that's I think we're gonna have to see more of that. If we want to increase net metering, we'll have to see more possibly more battery storage going in.
Are you a fan of the battery energy storage system? I think it's supposed to come online in 2021. Do you think more facilities like that or something a little different?
Well, this battery storage is a complicated issue, but it ties right into the stability of the grid. Our electrical grid needs to be stable. And as we have more, both our existing gas power plants, and as we add more renewables to the grid, we have a thing called spinning reserves. You have to have enough backup power available, so if the main turbine goes down or the wind stops blowing or whatever it is, you can have that source of power. Right now, we'll have a gas power plant idling, which is a very expensive thing to have it just idling, ready to go. This battery storage is instantaneous. It can just sit there just waiting to fill in that gap if one of these power plants drops off or the wind stops blowing or whatever. So the battery storage it seems expensive up front, but it actually saves a lot in maintenance and fuel costs on our spinning reserves. So I'm in favor of it.
And there's some discussion of HEA promoting electrification of heating and transportation through technologies like electric vehicles. They've got that EV, that's what it is.
Yes.
E-car,
yes.
And maybe heat pumps. Are you in favor of that? And if so, what incentives or aids would you support for that goal?
I am in favor of HEA promoting more use of electric vehicles and, you know, electricity for heat pumps and other things. In order to make our electrical utility the most efficient, which means, and efficient is a good thing to work for because it's less pollution and it's a lower cost. Well, in order to make our system more efficient, having a more balanced load helps. You know, right now we have a big peak during the day when everyone's working and doing stuff, and then in the middle of the night, the peak drops off. If we could have lots of people charging their vehicles at night, then our power production could stay online. It could stay running at an efficient level. So promoting electric vehicles is a great idea. I think it can ultimately make our system more efficient and lower our emissions. So I'm in favor of electric vehicles, which has been a big change of heart for me. I used to be kind of a skeptic of whether electric vehicles actually worked or not, but I'm a believer now.
And then what kind of incentives or, you know, assistance would you want to see HEA give in that arena? I mean, at a certain point, you know, the concern is like, well, are we competing in the, you know, commercial marketplace? Are there other types of cars out there that get sold, kind of thing? Rebates or building charging stations or just saying in a newsletter, hey, think about electric cars?
Ooh, boy, that's a tough question. I mean, it's easy. It's an easy choice to say, yes, we should promote electric vehicles and, you know, and advertise them and put it in the newsletter and tell people about that. That's an obvious choice. Incentives, that's a tougher sell. Although I'm not opposed to it. You know, there's been this kind of ties in with the idea of this on-bill financing where people want to install renewables, they want to put in solar cells on their roof, but they can't come up with the money up front. And there's some place where the utilities are helping with that money up front so people can install those solar panels and then pay it off on their bill long term. It's something I want to learn more about, and I think this might be a solution to get more of that going on with our utility.
And is there anything else that you would like to add or that you would want voters to know about you?
Well, I'm looking forward to serving on the HEA board. I think HEA is an exciting organization, and I just look forward to getting a chance to use my engineering background and my experience working across Alaska to try and make our utility better, serve our customers better.
So does this mean you're going to be running out on those 2 a.m, my power is out calls? Can you be like the board member with the cape that's climbing the pole?
Hopefully not. But that's an important part. Those, you know, the linemen, that's a tough job. They go out in the worst conditions and fix those things. That's a very important. I think those people are to get overlooked. They get more. They should have more credit than they get.
And finally, we'll hear from 3 candidates running for a District 3 seat covering Kisilov South to Ketchumak Bay. Kathleen Gustafson with KBBI in Homer spoke to Troy Jones of Homer, who runs a construction company, Pete Kineen of Anchor Point, who is the director of the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies, and incumbent Jim Levine of Homer, a project manager with a construction company. Up first, here's Troy Jones.
I was reading your resume, and I would love to hear your take on the work you did for the hydroelectric plant.
You're talking about Bradley Lake. I worked on several different phases of that project. I think it was a great project and continues to give great benefits to the Kenai Peninsula and all the way to Fairbanks with the grid.
What can you bring to the Homer Electric Association Board of Directors?
HEA is doing all kinds of things, which whenever things are easy and good, that's great. But I think we need to focus on the basics, looking at our infrastructure. I work around and with electrical grid a lot, and I see it's deteriorating, and trying to see how we can save some money. We pay really high electric bills. April 1st, I believe it went up. See how we can reduce it instead of just continuing to do all of these other programs. I just don't believe the membership wants to see that. They look at their bill when it comes, and they want to see that bill as low as possible.
What other programs are you talking about?
The alternative energy sources are exactly that, alternative energy. The hydro, that's great. It's already established. The natural gas, they've got everything set up to do that. But as far as the tide and the solar here, I don't agree with putting a whole bunch of money into solar. You let the private sector perfect that, and someday down the road it may be. Another issue that I would like to really study and look at and is this battery backup that they're
doing. The Tesla battery, right?
Yeah. We're blowing money like a drunken sailor, and I think we need to get it back under control.
Your immediate goals are to focus on existing infrastructure and repairs.
Taking care of our linemen and our workers. Focus on infrastructure and making sure that it's in good repair.
And what about any long-term goals, development goals for HEA?
For 25 years, I've paid payroll and ran a business here in Homer. And I've seen good times, I've seen tough times. I know that you have to live on what comes through the door. I work a lot in the community with new people that are moving to Homer, do foundations and driveways and septic systems. I get to talk with all these new folks that come in, and the one thing that's stopping growth in Homer is supply of power, and it's cost prohibitive for a young family. If you're as much as 300 yards from the existing power line, it's cost prohibitive. So we got to look at that. We got to figure out what can we do. I've lived here for over 60 years. I've pretty much seen HEA from the startup to today. And I'd appreciate your vote. If I can be of assistance to get HEA back where we can afford to have electricity and afford to hook up new customers, I'm all for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Troy Jones, candidate for Homer Electric Association Board in District 3.
That was Troy Jones of Homer running for a District 3 seat for the Homer Electric Association Board of Directors. Up next, Kathleen Gustafson with KBBI in Homer spoke with Pete Kinnean of Anchor Point.
Better way of doing that from here forward is renewable energy. The future has arrived. Alternative energy is in process of overcoming fossil fuels.
And that change has happened, you think, when renewable energies are cost effective in the same way as fossil fuels?
I absolutely believe it. The term they use for that is price parity. If you were to desire a new source of energy, it is today cheaper. Solar energy is everything. I mean, all the others pale in comparison to solar power. And the key that makes it work is affordable storage. Battery prices have come down, and they're continuing to come down, cheaper than drilling a new source of fossil fuels.
HEA has done a fair amount of work on renewables. They have the Tesla battery. They have a solar co-op as well. What do you feel like you can contribute to HEA?
Traditionally, electrical generation utilities are long-term thinking, nothing exciting, don't rock the boat. And that has served us well for the last 11 decades. And I applaud that. However, we are at the point of disruption similar to cell phones disrupting the telephone industry, computers replacing encyclopedias, happening to electrical generation. We need to have a director or two at the table who does understand big money. I've handled lots of very large sums of money over my career, but we also need someone flexible enough to look at all of the changes that are hitting right now. The fact that HEA is reaching out through the Tesla battery gives me enthusiasm to be involved. An example might be being open to folks who are going to be coming to make presentations, proposals to put in what's called a mini grid. A big part of that is to have battery systems staged periodically through the grid system so that isolated communities that are in HEA's districts that put up huge capital costs to be tied into the grid. Having microgrids not connected to the main grid, but rely on most likely solar, some wind possibility, but being tied in with the new batteries that are available and are becoming even more so. And it's at an accelerated rate.
Toward access and affordability.
And the reliability of having grids that can be separated so that if the power does go down at my house, it doesn't turn off the power at your house because this battery can kick into it in a microsecond.
Okay, Pete Kinnean, candidate for Homer Electric Association, Board of Directors, District 3.
That was Pete Kinnean of Anchor Point, running for District 3 on the HEA Board of Directors. Before that, we heard from Troy Jones of Homer. And finally, Kathleen Gustafson at KBBI in Homer speaks to incumbent Jim Levine of Homer.
I can ask you about the rate hike. Rates have gone up, so you've been around for that. First of all, can you explain the rate hike that came online April 1st?
In this particular case, there's two aspects to this rate hike, what's called a base rate hike. Base rate being sort of all the costs of HEA, and they keep going up. Salaries go up. The cost of living is a good way to put it. This year in particular, some of the regulatory requirements have gone up. The state just mandated this reliability standards, so those costs have gone up. So that's kind of the cause of the base rate increase, which is actually smaller than the COPA that went up. COPA is the cost of power adjustment, and that actually went up quite a bit this time. A requirement of RCA, of the Regulatory Commission, every 3 months we have to analyze our cost of power and either increase or decrease it based on what happened during the previous 3 months.
So that's how the COPA gets adjusted.
Is every 3 months you look back at the last 3 months and recalculate it. David Thomas likes to say it's like trying to drive your car looking through the rearview mirror. January, when we had all that 0-degree weather, rates were actually much lower than they would have been had it been a normal year. And it's sort of a perfect storm. January is when, you know, we go on new contracts with the gas supplier, which was higher than last year's contract. So there's only one supplier, and that's it.
You are the co-chair of the Renewable Energy Committee at Homer Electric. All the candidates are talking about lowering costs, but what will it take to do that?
Well, it's pretty difficult because, you know, the salaries are going up. They're a union shop. Nobody's willing to take a hit there. It can't be permanently ignoring the infrastructure. The long term is part of the short term. I keep harping on the cost of fuel is our biggest cost. The HEA has a $100 million a year budget. $30 million of it is for fuel. If you could save that, if a third of your budget goes to fuel, and if you have no fuel costs, then you've just saved a third of your budget. It's probably not likely that we could save 100% of our fuel bill, but even if we were to save half, that'd be $15 million a year. That's a lot of money. What we're aiming for is to have a reliable, safe system at the lowest cost that we can maintain. And then there's also the landfill gas at Soldotna. We're looking at going on a combined project with the Kenai Peninsula Borough to produce electricity using the landfill gas that's generated there. Oh, and I didn't get to mention the battery system.
Oh, right, the Tesla battery.
When the transmission line goes down between here and Anchorage, the battery would save us every penny of that. We would no longer need to run an additional generator, so we would save $25,000 a day whenever the transmission line is down.
Jim Levine, incumbent board member running for re-election.
And those were the HEA Board of Directors candidates. You should have gotten your ballots in the mail this month. Be sure to send them in as soon as possible. If you haven't done so already, be sure to vote and send your ballots in as soon as possible. HEA will announce the winners on their website on May 7th. I'm Jenny Nyman. This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Thanks for tuning in.